Fair Bluff. Good morning, Fair Bluff. Okay, good. Okay. Remember, I'm used to loud kids, so come on. They're not bashful. One point of clarification, okay? Jackie and I do have a house here in Charlotte. We do live here in Charlotte. However, we're vacant a lot of the time, okay? We have no plans of moving yet, but I've learned in this life, never say never. So don't know, but the Lord's not leading that way. Matter of fact, it's strategic on my part with the involvement at the camp that I come and go. That way I have a fresh vantage point of the camp, the scenery. I was sharing with Dennis at the break. That's, to me, a very pivotal part of what I do, is to recognize things out of place or recognize things that don't look good. If you're up there, it's just like your home. How many things, men, do we have that need to be fixed right now at our home that we walk over every day? And so that's kind of a strategic design on my part. So we still live the same house that we've lived for a number of years. So come see us. Call before you come. We might not be there. But we're going to continue this same thought, not so much on passion. You got, I think, the gist there. But this morning, I'd like for us really to look at God's plan. I attended a men's conference recently, and the seed was planted. The messages was about really obeying God's plan in your life, but the seed was planted, and I started thinking about it, and actually I was way back on top of the mountain. If you've ever been to mountaintop, and you go up to the rappelling cliffs, and then you go on up again, the next thing that's going to happen is you're going to go back down again, okay? And actually, Lauren texts me, and I was over on that back down again side. I was way back in the woods, and I usually call Jackie and say, okay, here's about where I'm at in case something happens. You'll at least know how to tell people to come get me, because most time I'm alone. And so Lauren texts me, and it kind of changed my thought process a little bit as we were texting back and forth. But, you know, in business or in life, in school, I know Stephen have lesson plans to teach school. In business, we have a 1-3-5-year plan typically. You got to have a plan, and then they tell you to work the plan no matter what we do. And probably in your life or your household, you have plans too. And as I began to think about the conference I attended and then the Lauren's text, you know, it just the other morning it availed upon me, you know, God, do we really know God's plan? And I would say most of us would say, yes, we know God's plan. But have we really analyzed God's plan? And so I've been doing that in my studies privately. And so this is kind of just kind of a lump sum of, you know, do we know God's plan? And then where do we fit in God's plan? And then are we doing God's plan? So that's kind of the outline, except I would do something like God's plan for man. And then God's plan executed. And then God's plan amplified or applied, either way you want to use it. So, before we start, let's just seek his guidance. Father, we thank you for the fact that we have your written word. We thank you for the fact that we have the indwelling spirit. We would pray now that your spirit would enlighten the words that you would have us to hear, that we would take them and apply them to your honor and to your glory. We give you thanks for our Savior in his name. Amen. Well, again, I will apologize up front. We're going to be doing a lot of scriptural turning, so get your fingers ready. And I've limited the verses in scope, but we will see a lot of verses as we roll through, because I do want to establish the point that God does have a plan. He's got a general plan, and I think most of us know it, but I want to show you how in people, practically how he used people to do his plan. So, if you would, let's start out in Genesis as we look at God's plan for man. Genesis chapter 2. We got to go to the book of the beginnings to look at that. Genesis chapter 2. And I'm just going to read one verse there just to establish the fact. While you're turning there, remember that God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And in verse 15 of chapter 2, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That was God's plan for Adam. He had a job for him to do, or an assignment, if you will. So from the very beginning, the first man, he had a task. He was task-oriented. And we all probably know that. And another familiar verse would be over, and I'm pretty sure, hold on, is Abraham. And if you remember Abraham, I'm not going to have you turn that one. Hopefully it's very familiar. What did Abraham have to do? He said, get thee from your land and take your son and go up to a mount and there make a sacrifice. He gave him a task. He also, in Abraham's life, gave him a promise. He promised him that he would make many nations. And then we saw Abraham begin to do Abraham's plan and not God's plan. And I think we all know the decisions of him and Sarah. And then we could look at something that seems kind of strange. It wouldn't be kind of our top list of what examples would we choose to see God's plan from a natural man. I chose Samson. And think about him. I'm not going to have you turn there, but if you did, in Judges, you would find that from birth, Samson had a plan. He was a Nazarite. And, you know, he had all the traditions of a Nazarite. He was to obey. And we know that Samson's plan did not equal God's plan, right? But guess what? God's plan prevailed, because in his latter days of his life, Samson prayed to God to let him have basically redemption and to fulfill that plan. And that's when he took out a lot of people by just knocking down a couple of pillars of a building. And yet they were the key people in that building. So it's kind of unique to see how God has a plan for each one of us. And yet, guess what? Sometimes we have a plan too. Now, it's great when they marry together and they go down the same path or same side of the road. But what happens when they don't? And I chose Samson because that was one, but yet God's plan prevailed. And then we can look at Noah. Oh, we know Noah very well. God had a plan for Noah, right? And then, sure enough, he built the ark. And sure enough, God saved a number through Noah. So just to a few Old Testament examples, we can see that when God impacted somebody's life, in this case, these gentlemen, things happened. He wanted them to happen a certain way. He wanted that ark to be built to save a remnant. And so Noah built the ark. We could turn over to the New Testament, and I would have you do that. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 22, because I wanted to really speak a lot more about Paul than we are, but Paul is very fascinating kind of a person, and we can see a lot of practical examples, but time just will not allow that. So I'm just going to lay the groundwork, and hopefully this will inspire you to look. But if you would look in Acts chapter 2, we are going to read a few verses to catch the ramifications here. Hopefully you know this story. This is where Saul of Tarsus is on a mission. He's got a plan, Saul's plan. Let's break in at verse 4. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. This is Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, talking. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, the religious leaders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them, which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. So in our vernacular, Paul was a pretty good bounty man. You know, and, you know, he would take no prisoners. You know, dead or alive is kind of what I see in his motto. And the other thing that jumped out I really hadn't seen when I was studying this was men and women. You know, that kind of shocked me. I'd never attached women to Paul's zealous behavior, Saul at this point. So He's headed to Jerusalem. We'll pick up in verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light. So they saw the light, but notice, and were afraid as well, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. So his accompaniment saw it, but didn't hear it. Read on. And this is what I wanted to highlight. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? Saul at this point recognized that, hey, the Lord kind of called him. And he didn't say, whoa, I'm scared, I'm afraid. His words were, What must I do? An action plan. I'm looking for plans, remember? And so he asked the Lord, What must I do, Lord? And then he said, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed unto thee to do. So again, the Lord had a plan for Saul of Tarsus, who would later change his name to Paul. Let's look over in Matthew chapter 4, if you will. Just real briefly, another interesting character that when you look at a plan and you look at the New Testament, he would probably number two on my list, and he is, would be Peter. And we know Peter, a lot of us, I think, can identify with Peter. You know, Peter was that one that would kind of act before he thought or speak before he thought. And so many times I think I do that as well. So I can identify well with Peter. But let's look at his little challenge. Matthew chapter 4. And we'll look at verses 18 and 19. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, if this was a pop quiz, I would say at this point, now what was God's job for Peter to do? And you would answer, Make fishers of men, right? Catch people, and that would be correct. So, again, when God calls men and women, mankind, he has a task for us to do. And we know that. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not ourselves, we are the gift of God. And then it goes on to tell us, not of works that we should do, but it also tells us in verse 10, that we're prepared for good works. So God has a plan. We could look at others, but time will not allow it. I'd like to look at the chief example. So what we see here, that God has a plan when he calls mankind. And also it establishes the fact that mankind just does not coexist here on the earth, or, quote, spend time or hang out on the earth till his days are over. There's a purpose for mankind. Unfortunately, we have to confess that many times mankind doesn't recognize God's calling, doesn't recognize God's purpose or his plan. He doesn't do God's plan. But the fact is, God has a plan for mankind. Each of these examples will illustrate that. Even when we don't exactly follow God's plan, some of the examples, Abraham, Samson, they deviated from God's plan, but yet God's plan still was executed his way. It might have taken a little longer, might have had a little more problems or instances, but God's plan prevailed. Now, the exciting part is, I hope you don't debate me on God having a plan. That should be established. His plan was to love the world and for the world to recognize that love and love him back, to commune with mankind. We saw that in Genesis with Adam and Eve. And then sin came into their life. What was the first thing that severed? Was their relationship. that communion. They hid themselves. They were embarrassed. So many times that's what man does, even in our day and time. We estrange ourselves from God. We try to block God out. We can use all kinds of things. We can use life's pleasures. We can use busyness of life. We can use chemical means, drugs, alcohol, whatever it might be. Any type of lust we can put in there to fill that void, to hide from God. But guess what? God's in control, and we know that. So that's God's plan for man. We see he does have a plan, real briefly. The second point I want to make, and I'm going to really stay on this one a good while, would be God's plan executed. So if God has a plan, and we establish the fact that he does, we also mentioned the fact that sometimes God's plan is not executed the way he wanted it to be executed, i.e. Adam didn't do it, Abraham didn't do it, Samson really didn't do it, Noah, when he did it, then he messed up. So man always kind of gets in the way. Man always puts their spin on it. So that's a problem. And the problem is called sin. Sin in the world with Adam, and we are all creatures ever since. And so we have sin, and so that's an issue. But you know, God had a plan as well. And aren't you glad of that? God's plan was to provide no sin. And that's the one we're going to look at as one executing God's plan. Because the real big plan of God was that all mankind would know him. But the problem we have, and we know these verses well, is that we've all sinned. And then we also know that the wages of sin is death. So sin has separated us from God. So there's been a little change in the plan, if you will. God's got the perfect remedy. And he knew it before time was. We would look at Abraham and Isaac, what I referenced earlier. What was the famous saying that Abraham said to Isaac when Isaac said, "Hey, Father, we have the wood, we have the fire, we have the knife, we have everything, but the sacrifice, the lamb." And Abraham famously says, "God himself will provide a lamb." That day he provided a ram in the thicket. But what a proclamation that God would provide a lamb. And so sure enough, God provided the lamb in the form of Jesus. He was born a very human. We'll look at that. So we're going to consider real quickly the life of Jesus in the next few minutes, and then we're going to see God's plan applied or amplified. So turn with me back into Luke. We're going to start at the very birth, and we're going to run through the life of Jesus real quick, only hitting a few high points. But in the book of Luke, you know, this is the birth story. Some people say the Christmas story, but it's really the birth story. And I want to highlight as we go through this, look at what was God's plan for Jesus. What was Jesus' purpose to come from the Godhead to be a human being? And we'll look at verse 48, and we're going to jump in. Jesus has just been born, and I'm ahead of myself. Let's go to verse 30. Yep. And this is when he's born, and Simeon says, "Bring me the." And when Simeon sees him, this is what he says. And all we know about Simeon really is found in verse 25, that he was just and a devout man. In verse 30, Simeon says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." That was Jesus' purpose, to bring salvation. Remember his names, Emmanuel, God with us. To bring salvation, to lighten Gentiles who, remember what Paul writes in Ephesians, who had no covenants with God, who were strangers and pilgrims. They didn't have the religious background that the Israel, a light for Israel. That was God's plan for Jesus. Then notice also, he's now a little boy. There's not much documentation between the baby or the birth right after the birth. Matter of fact, this instance to now, jump over, and we're going to pick up when he's in roughly 12 years old in verse 48. He's a young lad, and his parents had gone to Jerusalem. You know the story well. And they went and celebrated. They came back, but guess what? They left him. He wasn't there. He wasn't with them. So they went back to look for him in verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about, and here it is, my father's business, or I would say my father's plan. Now here he is at 12 years old, Jesus knowing full well, being full God, what he was to do here on the earth. But you know, it also shows you the humanity as well of a mother. Notice the caring. We sought thee sorrowing. You know, mothers, so much for all of your children, and even those that are not mothers, you still mother. It's the woman's nature to really to cuddle and to encourage and to really help, motivate, do all the things that they do is sometimes they worry or they are fearful or sorrowful. Some of the things that are happening with their children. And so this is a very evidence of that. And she expresses that in the writings there. But the key phrase was, I must be about my father's business. Now, you know, this is where you and I have difficulty knowing the plan. Now, I don't think we would debate that Jesus knew the plan. He was very God. You know, matter of fact, we know he knew what he was to do. Well, guess what? You and I don't know the plan. That's our problem. We know what God's desire is. We know what Scripture tells us. But when we get into trees or the weeds of life, it's hard to distinguish God's plan when we are confronted. How many have ever experienced having to make a decision and not knowing which way to go? Do I move or do I not move? Do I take this job or not take this job? Do I do this or do I not do this? Lord, help me. And I'm pretty sure most of us have probably made that cry at some point in our life. Well, Jesus knew the plan. But you know, that didn't make it any easier. Just as it didn't make it any easier for us. You know, we might not know God's plan exactly on that given moment. You know, we might not even want to do God's plan if we see his leading. You know, Jonah was a good example of that. He knew what God wanted him to do, and he had other plans. So God used a big fish to correct him and adjust him. You know, and then the other part is sometimes we don't understand God's plan. If you read studies, it says, what we know, and what we don't know. And that's kind of what this is. All we know is the life we experience. All we know is what we know, our heredity, our studies, if you will, you know, our upbringing, whatever it is, that's what we're accustomed to. And I promise you, if we were to take ourselves and plant us into somewhere in Brazil, our customs are not their customs. And I just picked Brazil out. You could pick any country out. But all we know is how we do life, the Western side of civilization. But there are other customs, there are other stuff. Matter of fact, you have to communicate to other countries. And I was planning a trip to another country, and in my mind, I was going to fly out on Monday and be there and then fly out on Thursday. And they said, oh, don't forget, Monday's a holiday. Wasn't a holiday for us, but it was for them. So we had to adjust plans. So what we know only from our vantage point. So after all, goes on, but there's a plan that God wants us to do. And Jesus knew that plan. But again, I'm going to repeat, just because we know the plan doesn't mean the plan's going to come easy or natural to us. Matter of fact, the next point we're going to look at is turn over in John chapter 4, where we're going to see God's plan in Jesus' life take him across cultural boundaries, which sometimes that happens to us. You know the story well. It's the story of the Samaritan woman. Just to highlight the point, let's look at verses 3 and 4. It says, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And get this, in verse 4, what does he say? And he must needs go through Samaria. That's a detour. If you look at a map, that's a detour. He must needs go through. Why is that so pressing on him? Look at verse 9. He met a lady. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou, being a Jew, ask to drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. There was a cultural conflict between those two groups, those two, as we would call people groups. But yet Jesus knew what was his mission? To be a light to the Gentiles. He knew full well what the plan was. And so he must needs go. Now, this is why Jesus is the perfect example, because he knew it, but yet he even knew that it would put him across lines that shouldn't really be done as an Israelite. Yet he did. He did it with loving kindness. And he reached. And one thing you can draw from this is that God's plan might have us go out of our way to execute that plan. It might mean that we're going to cross barriers. Cultural barriers, geographical barriers, we're not sure. You might have to cross barriers. But there is a purpose to the plan. Think of Jonah. There was a purpose to his plan. Jonah didn't want to go to that city. It was a bad city. He didn't want to go. But God, what did he do? He brought fruit in all these instances. And in this as well. What did the woman do? Not only did he impact her life, she brought the town to the Lord right there at the well. Much could be said about this instance, but we must move on because time is moving on. Lastly, let's go back and look at Luke chapter 22 as we're culminating the life of Jesus executing God's plan. We're going to Luke, very familiar verses. When I said God's plan sometimes might not be easy, Jesus knew God's plan. Jesus was very God. He knew the plan. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was going to have to do going to the cross, and this is an example of this. And then we're just going to jump into verse 42. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane with several of his disciples that are close to him, yet a little distance away, and he says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I chose this instance because that's what our attitude should be. No matter what the cost, and Jesus foreknew the cost. I think we all understand that. What was his attitude is, whether he crossed cultural boundaries, whether it changed his life, where he had to go somewhere, it didn't matter. He said, Father, I'm obeying you. And that's what we should do. We should obey God, no matter what the price. Now, I will confess to you, it's easier to say it than to do it. We've all been there, right? We've all seen God's hand. Look at Abraham and Sarah. God promised him. And he said, well, my wife's so mighty old. That ain't going to work. I can't trust God. It's not going to be good. We got to, Sarah, what can we do about this? Does his own thing. And look at what we're dealing with today because of that mistake. Our own way has ramifications. Now, it might not be as bad as what that one was, but they all have ramifications. Cautious that we're... So... 7, I'm going to conclude the life of our Savior. Look at John 17. This will be our last point that we want to highlight as far as Jesus executing God's plan. In John 17, I'm just going to pull two verses out that magnifies God's plan and Jesus accomplishing that plan. And in our Savior's own words, he says, "And this," in verse 3, "and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." And here it is. "I have kept your plan." And then, "I have finished your plan. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do." We could say much more. We should say much more. But we must move on. Jesus knew God's plan. Jesus did God's plan no matter what the cost. Jesus finished God's plan and finished it well. What can we say but hallelujah? Otherwise, you and I have no hope. And that's what we want to look at is now, how do we execute, or actually how do we apply the plan? We know God has a plan. We know Jesus executed the plan. And the final point is, how do we apply God's plan? Well, that's very simple. And we all, hopefully, in some point of our lives, know it very well. Notice he said he's glorified the Father. He's finished the work. What was the work? That he would provide eternal life to mankind. Aren't you glad the old verse that we know so well, so much? He executed, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not eternally die, but have life everlasting," have everlasting life. And that's the plan, for God to provide the salvation. How do we apply the plan? The first one is to receive that salvation. To be in God's plan, you got to be a part of his family. You got to be one of God's chosen ones, his children. So the first part of us applying God's plan would be to know God's love. We just said it. You know, he loved us. You know, God loved us enough to give his very essence, to go and pay the price that had to be paid, that spotless lamb that Abraham proclaimed, the one that went to Calvary and bore all the shame, the humility, the physical pain, and yes, the spiritual pain in the hours of darkness where your and my sin was judged there. It's simple. God's plan was to offer Jesus to save you and I. His plan cost Jesus a lot. Jesus had to die. He was buried. He rose again that third day. He's in heaven interceding on our behalf right now. That was God's plan. God executed the plan. Question for you and I, have we applied the plan? Are we trusting in God's love? Do we understand what God's love's all about? Do we understand that he loved us enough to give eternal life? It's very simple what Jesus said. And I trust we do. But if you haven't, I would challenge you. Simply, confess your sin. Hey, we have to acknowledge we're Adam's race. We've all sinned. We've all come short of God's standard, his glory. And we also know that the wages of sin is death. It separates us from God. What is the remedy? It's the gift of salvation. God's gift makes us righteous in God's sight. Now, you and I, we can't do it ourselves. It's simple faith and trust in God. Simple as that. Let God do that work. And then we have life everlasting. The second way we can apply God's plan in our lives would be the first steps, become saved or be a Christian, a Christ one, trust him. Second one would be okay to know him, right? How do we do his plan if we don't know what the plan is? You know, when you're working with a company, you know, you have to outline what's the steps, what's the procedure, what's the process. Well, the process is very simple. It's just look through the scriptures and study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman. I use that term. A workman. There's a plan. A workman. Remember, that workman rightly divides God's word. in that verse. So we got to know God's word. And then we also know God's word is able. Look at, if you wanted to turn, you could turn to 2 Timothy 3:16-17. You know it well. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. We've got this scripture for what reason? It's profitable. That's what the verse says. It's good for us. It teaches us what to do, the doctrine. It corrects us when we're wrong. It puts us back on the path. It instructs us, right? And then it makes us perfect, thoroughly furnished. So God's word can do a lot. So what the plan is for him. We also need to know God's will. And this is the tough part as we close. What's God's will for our lives? And, you know, in working with young people, that's usually in the top three questions that you're going to get hit with by someone that's a Christian and, you know, they want to do what's right. Well, what's God's will for me? And, you know, you have no clue. You know, but you do know what Scripture says, right? God's will is that we obey him. So be obedient. God's will is that we would be baptized, that we would remember him. There's many things that God tells us what to do. But notice, if you would, turn over, and I've quoted it, but I want you to turn to it real quick, Ephesians chapter 2. And let's look there, because this is how we apply God's plan. Step is really the easy step. Sometimes it's the challenging step. But it's very easy for us. In verse 2, it says, for by grace, in verse 8, are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God that we're saved, not of our own works, lest any man should boast. And here's verse 10, for we are his workmanship. If you have put your faith and trust in God, now you're God's creation. You're God's workmanship. He's going to create something in you. What is that? We're created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Remember, we're not saved by good works, but we have a plan to do. We have a task to do. We're created unto good works. Now notice this, that last phrase, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. I ask you, do you believe that? It's right there in the Bible. And this Bible's way older than I am, and Lauren too, okay? He's way old, okay? What does it say? Do we believe it? That God has created a good work for you, for me, for Christians to do. Not right now. He did it before time, beforehand. He's ordained it before. So you've got a job to do. I've got a job to do. A plan, his plan. What's that job? That's between you and the Lord. Well, we could go to Romans 12:1-2. Well, the plan is to live righteously, right? We also could go and look at, well, we're not to seek things on the earth, but to look up into heaven. That's part of the plan. But the bottom line is, the general, if you would ask me, what is God's plan for the early church? Acts 2:42, you know that. To continue steadfastly in those four things. Right? Just do those four things. As a group of individuals, as a church, yes. As an individual, yes. If you're not here, the church is not here. So we're to walk worthy of our calling, Ephesians would tell us. So, in closing, how much more do we need to illustrate? God had a plan. He showed us the plan through the Old Testament saints. He showed the plan through the New Testament saints. Jesus came to execute the plan. We got the plan book right here. The plan's in the book. What is it for you and I? Well, as I mentioned, the first step is you got to know him to know the plan. The second step is you got to know what he wants you to do. And it doesn't take you long to read in the New Testament the many things he wants us to do. But to sum it up, he wants to live as he would live. As that Christ would do. We know that. That's an undertaking in itself. So, what's the takeaway? God does have a plan for mankind. God has executed that plan, and now mankind has to fulfill that plan in its own environment. God's master plan has been fulfilled. Salvation is free to all men. But God's will is that mankind would have a work to do. I know you've done it. I mentioned this morning, you had that neighborhood thing. That's great. That's the plan. Keep going with it. But the question this morning is really, as we depart, have you and I accepted God? Have we understood His plan, His love, that He loved us? Can you identify with God? Or are you hiding away as Adam and Eve would hide? You don't want to meet God. God is there. He's there waiting for you. Notice that Adam and Eve didn't go to God. If you go back to Genesis 2, God calls for Adam and Eve. God's calling for you. He wants you to come and to experience His love through Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. Come to God. That's the first step. And then, are we fulfilling God's plan in our life? You know, probably the one of, I'm not going to call him the greatest, but one of the top New Testament people that you would rank up there on our list would be Paul. In the latter years of Paul's life, what did he say? He says, you know, sometimes I have to forget the past to do what? Press to the mark of the prize of the high calling. You know, I've one thing years are coming on all of us, I noticed that I'm talking more about the past, the good old days. You know, I couldn't understand it when I was young, why people always talked about the good old days, and now I see it. You know, and so, you know, but sometimes we need to forget the past. Maybe there were some hardships. Maybe there were some hurts. Forget them. Let's press to the mark. Let's do God's calling for our lives, and then He will do what this verse says. He will get the glory that's behind me, that in all things He would be preeminent. So, may we all, each one of us today, experience God's love in a special way and experience Him directing our paths. I promise you, we're walking through difficult days. It's hard. You know, you would have never thought in the United States we would be facing some of the challenges as Christians or even in society that we're facing today. You would have said, no way, 30 years ago. But it's here. Some of us are walking through life tough things, but we also know that we're here on this earth to glorify God, those that have put their faith and trust in Christ. So help us to glorify one another by glorifying God, okay? Let's encourage one another. Let's pick each other up. Let's encourage and motivate. You know, it's great to hear the good news of the event. Now let's keep going. Let's keep going. Do what we can do to fulfill God's plan in our lives, no matter where it is. It might be in your neighborhood. It could be in your own family. It could be somewhere else. But let's be available, and let's let God work through us. Again, thank you. I want to thank the elders for allowing me to be back home. I am home, okay? This is my home, and we look forward to hopefully a little more. As we want to highlight again, if you're available, Tuesday, come up to the camp about 11:30. You'll have a wonderful meal. You'll have a good concert with Alan Parks. You can see the scenery, and then you leave. So it's a free event. Come and see. We'll have a number of saints from the village there as well. Men, let me highlight that as well. The second weekend of November, it's a men's conference. You can come and go. We start Thursday evening at dinner, and then we kick off, but it's structured, so you come when you're available. We know that that's a long period of time, so you can come late, leave early. You can come on time, leave early. It doesn't matter. The program is set to accommodate people in and out, but it is a very rich time. You will see, I was telling a brother the other day, you will see all walks of life. You will cross cultural boundaries. For the last 2 years, we've had a homeless man come. A homeless man. And he shared with us last time that it was one of the highlights of his time. He's a Christian. And he's chosen that God's plan for him is to live in the homeless community. Have you ever even thought about that? I hadn't until he said that. You know? First I said, man, I'm glad God didn't call me to do that, right? Isn't that what you're thinking? Yeah? Uh-huh. But see, he came up through that culture, and he's a witness to that culture in their own kind of world, if you will. But he comes up, and he's a great guy. And matter of fact, you know, any free shirts, they go with him back down the mountain. So he, you know, do what you can do. He's doing it. That's God's plan. You know, let me encourage us. One thing I do see from the church, and I'm going to encompass all truly believing churches. Sometimes we neglect what we do have. And I'll challenge you. There's a lot of conferences, free conferences or weeks of Bible conferences that we just don't have time for. Could God use that to equip us? So let me encourage us to take part of what we do have available to us to encourage. Well, you saw the very essence of this message came from a conference that I attended, and it really sparked me to look how God could use, really my studies are, how God could use natural people who failed to his glory. I said, I can identify with that because I'm going to fail. You're going to fail. But it's amazing. Scripture is full of them. I could go through a lot. Normal people, craftsmen, and yet God had just normal craftsmen build the ark. Yeah. Ark of the Covenant. Wow, what a special time that might have been. So, let me challenge you in a special way to avail yourselves of those things. Put priority on them. Know your passion. What's your passion, and are you doing your passion? And let's all be obedient to God's plan in our lives. If you don't know God, I'm up here. Come talk. God, we thank you for the fact that you do love us. I have to say sometimes that's remarkable in itself because I know who I am. I know what I do. Oh, you know what I do, and yet you love me. Just as you have shown through your word briefly this morning, how you love mankind. You love Adam when he failed. You loved Abraham when he failed. Samson, when he went his own way with lust, you loved him and brought him back. Lord, there's nothing that will surprise you. There's no sin, no walk of life. You're there ready for all of us. And my prayer is that we would all know you. Desire to have a relationship with each one of us. Help us to do the Great Commission, to go and give out the good news. Help us to do that at work, at home. We've been too quiet. Help us to go and give your message out. One of the ways we can give it out is simply living a just and a holy life. Now, we know that we can't do that without your indwelling spirit, without having true time with you, understanding your ways. And so we do thank you for what you have blessed us with, your word, for the church, for other mechanisms and means that helps encourages us. So, Father, we thank you for all that we have through you. We would say thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. Thank you for dying on the cross for me so that I could have life and have it everlasting. I'm so glad you finished the work that your Father gave you to do. So in your name, Lord, we say thank you and amen as we depart.